Amen. Now, we've been in this series called The Grace Project. I hope your life has been changed. I hope the messages on grace have been so powerful you could say, Pastor, I don't even know if you need to talk about grace anymore. I'm already a completely different person. But even if you said that, I got to keep going because I really believe God has been speaking to me. During a time like this, I can't think of another subject that we could be more encouraged by than understanding who Jesus is through our knowledge of the grace of God. So I got a message I'm going to preach to you on Sunday morning. Somebody say amen. Called Good Grace in a Bad Place. Woo, that's a good title. Good Grace in a Bad Place. Open your Bibles or your computers to Daniel 6, verse 1. If you don't mind, I haven't done this in a while because I didn't know if you had the ability to pay attention, but we're going to read all 28 verses. And I know that you can pay attention. And so I want you to read along all 28 verses with me. It is Daniel in the lion's den. Verse 1 says this: It pleased the king Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps. There's a lot of satraps. Satraps is a leader, man. Matter of fact, our executive pastor, Nelson, man, we need to hire some satraps up in here to take the church to the next level because Darius had 120 satraps and I ain't got no satraps. Can a brother get some satraps up in here? Put in the chat, let a brother get some satraps. He had 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account. He had authority over them so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and the satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. The king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Verse 4 says, Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with no regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground, find a complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault would be found in him. I love this. It says, then these men said, since they couldn't find anything, we shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. Then verse 6 says, these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said, O King Darius, live forever. I'm reading for a while, so I wanted to switch up my accent. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition or prayer to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. I kind of said an African accent. I don't know where that came out. Verse 8 says, Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, look at Daniel. He was a G. He went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem, the holy city. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Come on, in the middle of somebody coming at him, in the middle of his co-workers hating on him, he did what he always did. He prayed to the Lord his God. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. I wonder if your enemies ever showed up. Come on, you ever pull up on somebody? Surprise, people have been coming by our house doing drive-bys and we've been doing drive-bys. Does anybody, if your enemy ever pulled up on you, would they find you complaining or praying? Ooh, that is good. I am preaching. What if your enemy and your haters and the people who have done so much to try to keep you from all that God had for you, they would never pull up on you and find you complaining. They'd pull up on you and find you petitioning and praying to the God you serve. It says they pulled up on him and they found him praying and making pleas before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any God God or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into a den of lions. The king answered and said, the thing that I said, it stands fast according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked. Then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. They feel like Satan a bit when he shows up and tries to accuse us before our king. Remember, they had that thing in the past. Remember what they did. Remember what you said in your word, God. They're not doing that. Does it sound familiar? So the Bible says the king finally relented and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions, no distractions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. Look at the honor in Daniel, by the way. He said, O king, live forever to someone who tried to kill him. He says, my God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. Can I just stop and prophesy over you? There's a lion's mouth being shut in this season over your finances, over your family. There is something the enemy has come, is sent to devour your marriage, to devour your purpose, to devour your goals and dreams, to devour your relationship with God, to devour your faith. And I just felt so strong in my spirit, an angel of the Lord is shutting the mouth of a lion in your life right now. It says, my God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before you. And also before you, king, I have done no harm. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. Shoot, got to be careful who you accuse. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lion overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. And then I love this part, this last three verses. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. Peace be multiplied. That's what happens when you come out of a lion's den season and you make it through and you trust the Lord. Peace will be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lion. So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius, the reign of Cyrus the Persian, both of those kings. Did you make it through all 28 verses? Just go ahead and pat yourself on the back. I know it was long, but that's okay. That might be the most verses you've read all week long, and it's important. I love this story of Daniel. Daniel is one of my favorite prophets in all of the Bible. What I love about Daniel is Daniel was able, in a horrific situation, remember the title of the message is Good Grace, In a bad place, good grace in a bad place. Daniel was in a bad place the entire time he was a prophet, but yet he prospered under four different kings: Nebuchadnezzar, Belteshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus. It didn't matter who was leading Daniel, Daniel prospered. We got to be careful that we don't blame people as to why we can't get to where we need to go. Daniel prospered underneath four ungodly kings, and he prospered. Nebuchadnezzar, Belteshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus. And Daniel was able to influence the kingdom under, no matter who he was led by. And I want to point out why. If we're going to find good grace in a bad place, I want to read to you Daniel 6:3. We went through the whole verse because I wanted you to get the entire story in context. But if we're going to find good grace in a bad place, we got to be like Daniel in this area. Daniel 6 verse 3 says, "Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him." See, this is what we got to understand. We, in our culture, we seek to have excellent things around us. Where there's grace, there's excellent things happening within us. I want to submit to you that if you want to find good grace in a bad place, you need to make sure that the excellence is happening within so that the excellence can manifest without. I'm going to say that again. If you want to find good grace in a bad place, you have to allow God to bring excellence within so it can manifest excellence without. We want promotion, you want blessing. What is going on the inside of you is key. God said that the king said Daniel would be over everything because he had an excellent spirit. We got to get some more excellent spirits in the church. We got to get some more excellent spirits at the workplace. If you are a Christian, you should be showing up to the job you hate with an excellent spirit. This man was in exile working for a pagan evil king, and he had an excellent spirit. What would it look like for you to show up to work on time with an excellent spirit? What would it look like for you to serve in a place that you never wanted to serve with an excellent spirit? What would it look like for believers to have an excellent spirit? I wonder if we're believing for an excellent life with a subpar spirit. God was using Daniel for great influence because he had an excellent spirit. I know this situation is terrible. Now people are even arguing at home. The politicians are all arguing. If you're like me, you can kind of lend for you to get some anxiety or wonder what it's all going to mean and be, but we need the grace of God to kick in. And I want you to write this down. You are operating in grace when an anxious situation is submitted to a peaceful soul. That's gonna set somebody free. You are operating in grace when an anxious situation is submitted to a peaceful soul. It blows me away that Daniel had an excellent spirit in such a horrific circumstance. I would be okay if Daniel, I'd get it if he had an excellent spirit and everything was going well, but no, Daniel had an excellent spirit and all of God's people were in exile. I want to challenge you and I, Oasis Church, what circumstance can we go through while keeping an excellent spirit? The joy, the peace, and the hope. Matter of fact, the Bible says that he who doesn't have rule over his own spirit is like a city without walls. You got to protect your spirit, your attitude, your perspective, the way that you approach life, the way that you see things. That's an excellent spirit. And the Bible says that this is all the king needed to promote Daniel. I know you want to get better at your craft. I know you want to get better at your goals. I know you want to maybe even get better in ministry. I know you want to be a better husband. You want to be a better father. But what about having a better attitude? What if all of your prayers, all of your dreams, everything you keep begging God to give you would not happen if you got better at the thing, but you just had a better attitude? I want to challenge us, Oasis Church. Speak over yourself. Lord, change my attitude, because if you're operating in grace when an anxious situation is submitted to a peaceful soul. And then if you're like me, I said this a lot, I'm gonna keep saying it again. the church was popping. If you don't understand what popping means, that means it was doing really well. The church was popping before the pandemic. Come on, put it in the chat, popping before the pandemic. The church was popping before the pandemic, and I wrestled so much, grieved at not being able to gather and see my friends in so many ways. This situation has been so challenging. And I realized something though, because Daniel was in the same situation. And Daniel, verse 6, 4 through 5, says that the people, they complained and tried to find out something bad about Daniel. God knew, I believe, God knew that Daniel was about to be promoted. But before he got promoted, some people, his coworkers, y'all know some people like that, your coworkers that don't want to see you win, they'll try to find out how you're doing wrong at your job. Are you doing something wrong? And they weren't able to find anything. And I think God was being intentional. I want you to write this down. I know this season is tough, but God's using this season. You got to write this down. Grace is often God using a tough season to get rid of what some people will point out when God blesses you. I almost passed. I'm getting lightheaded. That just hit me in my spirit. Hold on. I need a minute. I'm a faint. I said, grace is often God using a tough season to get rid of what some people will point out when God blesses you. Do you know that some people can already see your flaws, already know about your mistakes, already might even know about some sins? And you know the enemy is having them wait until God blesses you to point it out? That's why you gotta deal with things in private, because the enemy would love to deal with it in public. Did you hear what I just said? I said, this is a season to deal with some of your issues and your sins in private, because the enemy wants to deal with those sins and those issues in public. Grace is often God using a tough season to get rid of what some people will point out when God blesses you. I am preaching. I wish I could take a lap. I might just have to take a lap. They couldn't find anything. I know you're praying for an outpouring of God's Spirit. I know you are praying for some of your promises to come to pass. But what if God is waiting to manifest those things in your life because he knows that you got a private thing going on that nobody knows about, that the enemy is waiting to make public what only you and God know about in private? And he's saying, I gotta have you deal with this thing before I elevate you, because the enemy is gonna make it public. I'm talking to all my people out there that have that thing going on that nobody knows about, but you're still believing God for promotion. You're still believing God for your promise. Allow the Holy Spirit to deal with that thing, because the enemy would love to deal with in public what God wants to deal with in private. Grace is often God using a tough season to deal with some things in private. And so the Bible said they couldn't find anything, and they made this law. So they made this law that Daniel couldn't worship or pray to anybody but the king, and they convinced the king to make this decree. And the king didn't even want to do it. But when a king makes a decree, it becomes law, whether he wants to do it or not. Jeez, that is encouraging, because we don't just serve a savior, we serve a king. So when Jesus says he's going to do something, he's saying it as a king. And there's nothing that you can do to make him want to go back on it. It is law. You can delay it. You can delay it. But oftentimes God will still be faithful and do it, even though you delayed it. It says that he couldn't go back. And so they made up a law, and they caught Daniel in the act praying when they said he could only pray to his king. And so the Bible says in Daniel 6, verse 16, so the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, may your God whom you serve continually deliver you. We go see lions at the zoo sometimes, or and it's for our entertainment. They're in captivity. But I don't think we understand how the circumstance would shift if we were on the other side of that gate. And I would imagine Daniel stepping into this cave with lions, y'all. My heart's beating just thinking about it. Can I give you a practice when you study the Bible? Don't just read it like it's a comic book, but I want you to take a moment when you read passages of scriptures like this, and I want you to think about what it would have been like to be in the inside of a lion's den. Now, I feel like that's borderline torture, because even if I was trusting God, I'm in there all night. You know, maybe they threw him in at 8 p.m. and at 8:30, he's like, wow, it's been half an hour. 9 o'clock, it's like, wow, it's been an hour. Even if the lions hadn't eaten him at midnight, he wouldn't have maybe even known that they weren't going to come back for him. I mean, this was a traumatic situation. And I think when we talk about the enemy, we usually only bring up the lies of the enemy. But what about when the enemy attacks us with the facts? Think about this. Maybe the enemy was trying to lie to Daniel and say that his God wasn't for him, and that would have been a lie. We would know in the end of this story that God is for Daniel. But what if in that moment he wasn't trying to lie to Daniel that God wasn't for him? What if he was just trying to get Daniel to focus that he was in a den of lions? Sometimes the enemy won't tell you a lie. He will shift your focus. You got to write this down. Please. Sometimes the enemy will not lie, but switch your focus to facts, not faith. Some of y'all are faced with a fact. I get it, man. The amount of people that have lost their jobs in this nation is unbelievable, unprecedented since the Great Depression. And I can sometimes see, I was talking to my wife and one of my mentors, sometimes I can see, you know, prophetically so clear what God is doing in your purpose and in your promise. I forget to have empathy that you actually lost your job, that you don't have a paycheck. Sometimes I get so focused on hope at home, we'll help you, let us know, we got you. I need to remind myself to, you know, have empathy that you actually did lose your job. You don't have a paycheck coming in 2 weeks, and I feel terrible about that. And I also think it's in those seasons where the enemy will make you focus on you lost your job, not that God is with you. Because that's a fact, you did lose your job. And one of the greatest temptations I have is when the enemy makes me try to focus on a fact instead of my faith in who Jesus is. Sometimes the enemy will not lie to you, but switch your focus to facts, not faith. Can you write this down? If you want to find good grace in a bad place, write this down. If you don't get nothing else, please write this down. Grace will give you faith to focus. I believe the grace of God was on Daniel to focus in that den, that God was for him, that God was with him. How do I know? Because the Bible says that Daniel didn't come out of the cave crying. He came out of the cave with joy. Oh, King, live forever. My God has rescued me. Maybe this season feels like you are trapped in a den of lions, but not only will grace give you the faith to focus on God in the den of lions, whatever that means to you, but the grace will give you the faith to come out shouting, my God has rescued me. What a powerful thing if you want to find grace in a bad place. Here's the thing. In Daniel 6, 25 through 28, and then we're going to close. It says, King Darius, after God had rescued him, wrote to all the peoples, the nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. That's how much authority he had. Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. What Daniel went through brought a nation into recognition of who God was. What if that's the same thing God is doing in this season? And then the king goes on, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed in him. His dominion shall be to the end. Can you imagine the moment where you get to listen to the people, to the person who tried to kill you, give glory to God? Can you imagine an anointing so strong to the person who tried to take you out, listening to them give glory to God. Daniel never even preached to the king, and the king is preaching. What if that's the real move of God? Not that we preach to the people who are trying to kill us, but we would walk through what we have to walk through so strong. It would be the murderers declaring the glory of the Lord. That was the anointing on Daniel. The king Darius goes on and says, he delivers, he rescues, he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. I'm going to pray for you, but I want to point out just three words that stuck out to me in this passage of scripture. In the beginning, in Daniel chapter 6, in verse 3, it says that this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps. And this Daniel. But then yet at the end of the verse, the one I just read in verse 28, it says that phrase again. In verse 28, so this Daniel prospered. I want to submit to you right now that there was a Daniel before the den and a Daniel after the den. Verse 3 said, so this Daniel, and then verse 28, after he came out of it, said, so this Daniel. I feel like March 11th, when I first got the news that we had to shut down the church, there was a moment where there was this Julian, that Julian, that had to pray and had to believe God and was uncertain. But honestly, 2 months later, there's another Julian. And I think that if we can't go through things and be able to say, so this Jennifer, and then this Jennifer, this is what following God is all about. If you want to find good grace in a bad place, you got to go from this Jeremy to this Jeremy. Come on, I'm preaching to my wife. She's going to go from this Christina to this Christina to this Christina. I need to go from this Julian to this Julian to this Julian. We can't go from this blessing to this blessing to this blessing with this Julian, this Julian, this Julian, the same old person. We got to be able to move out of what God asks us to walk through a different person. Verse 3 said, so this Daniel, 28 says, so this Daniel. And I believe as the story unfolds in our life, we need to move from this to this to this, or we'll never see that. That's how you find good grace in a bad place. I want you to write this down. I'm going to pray for you. Would Daniel have ever said yes? We wonder why we don't hear from God. Would Daniel have ever said yes? Hey, Daniel, yes, Lord. I got to reach a whole nation. And none of these people believe. So I got a plan. I need you to start a church. I need you to fundraise some money. I need you to buy a building. I need you to invite people on Instagram. And I'm going to reach the nations. Sound good? Daniel would have said yes to that. I said yes to that. I said yes to leading Oasis. You imagine if Pastor Philip asked Christine and I, Pastor Philip and Holly asked Christine and I to lead the church. We said yes. I don't know if I would have said yes had I known a global pandemic was coming and I'd be stuck at home after 5 months. But you imagine Pastor Philip and Holly said, hey, Julie and Christina, so it's our dream that we need to reach the nation. So we got a plan. We're going to put you in a lion's den. And I need you to believe God that an angel of the Lord is going to shut the mouth of the lions. Now get this. When he does, all people everywhere are going to believe in God. And your service, your transition service is October 13th. And then that night, we're going to put you in the lion's den. But don't worry, God's going to send an angel. He's going to shut the mouth of the lions. And then everyone everywhere is going to know the Lord. Deal? Go buy your suit. I wouldn't have said no to that. I wouldn't have said yes to that. No way. And so what I have found is God sometimes doesn't tell you something that he knows you will say no to. What he will do is he will put you in a circumstance that forces your yes. I'm going to say that again. God sometimes won't tell you something because he knows you would say no. He will put you in the circumstance to force your yes. And it is your yes that blesses people and you. Grace is often God using your circumstance to get you to say yes to something that your comfort would have you say no to. Grace is often God using your circumstance to get you to say yes to something that your comfort would have you say no to. And when God uses a tough circumstance like a global pandemic, man, I don't want you to leave this season without a yes to God to something he used to say no to. Hey, will you stop having sex with your boyfriend or girlfriend? And for years you've been saying no. I think this is the lion's den. This is the time that you would go, okay, yes. Cut is your yes that God is going to use in this next season. Your yes. Find something in your life that you've been saying no to God about and tell him yes. And you watch how you come out of this season. I promise you, I know. If you do this, you will find good grace in a bad place. Father in heaven, I thank you for sending Jesus, and people everywhere under the sound of my voice are finding good grace in a bad place. Lord, I pray that you would continue to reveal yourself to them so that they would know you and be able to trust you just like Daniel. And Lord, I don't know what their lion's den is, but I know they're going to come out rejoicing that their God has rescued them. And I know that you're going to use them mightily to love their neighbor, to bless their neighbor. And I really believe you're going to use this season collectively to reveal your glory to the city of Los Angeles. And we would all, as a city, and maybe even as a nation, find good grace in a bad place. In Jesus' name, amen.